Thanks, Tim.
Nice. Trying to do direction.
No, neither. Okay, next I would like to invite President or Vice President Knorr to give us an update on the financial condition of our university.
Good morning. This is the 61st in a series of financial reports to the board over the last 10 years. So as I go to the first slide, as I have done in the past, give the headlines of what's happened since the last board meeting. I don't need to dwell on the first item. Basically, everybody knows we continue to be in a budget impasse. We have received the last of our $351 million bridge appropriation for 28 for 2017. And have distributed that to according to plan. There is no appropriation for the awards that we have for MAP for this academic year. We use the appropriation for 17 to pay the spring appropriation of last academic year. So we have that. I'll talk about it a little bit more in a second, but the governor opened up the FY18 budget season with his budget address on February the 15th. As of March the 2nd, if you look at the controller's, state controller's page, they're looking at $11.9 billion in unpaid bills, and that is, when I looked at it yesterday, it's up to $12.4 billion in unpaid bills as of yesterday. And in that is almost $4 billion of health care bills that have not been paid, which basically everybody knows about that dilemma. And lastly, on the kind of on the downside is basically the fiscal commission, which is everybody independently respects, has looked at the revenues for the state and basically are predicting basically a decrease of over $1 billion in revenues for the current fiscal year. I think more on the positive side, the endowment. The foundation board approved a 4% spending for the next fiscal year. When I say the 4% spending, we're talking about spending as a percentage against the average market value of the portfolio, and basically comes to the university as part from the endowment. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. We have the Auditor General did release the financial reports for the university for FY16, both the financial and compliance reports. At the ABFF, we went through a presentation on the financial side, and they made that presentation. The results on the financial side and then compliance side will be made at the May ABFF. We will expect to be before the Legislative Audit Commission on this on March the 28th to basically get the final approval from the legislature. The credit ratings are unchanged from January. On Friday, we will be defending the A credit rating for the hospital with Standard & Poor's. Moody's comes out on a regular basis with warnings on Illinois. They're even out this morning with another one. With regard to the public higher education, they said Moody's says that the budget impasse and sporadic funding increases pressures on finances and competitiveness of Illinois publics, puts pressure on Illinois publics. So they're very aware and basically putting out regular notices about the impact on Illinois publics with regard to the budget impasse in Illinois. On the positives, I think we continue our strong advocacy efforts with the state legislature. As we already talked about by President Killeen, the IPAC is being refiled with the amendment today. And I believe Dr. Killeen's going over there this afternoon to the subject matter meeting to make a presentation on the IPAC and the amendment to that. And we continue the monitoring of the fiscal operations of the university and its budgets and efficiency and controls are ongoing. And when we talk about the governor, what the governor said on the 15th of February, again, essentially the governor, when he makes his budget address, it's the opening of the budget season. This is the opening of the FY18 budget season. But basically for the University of Illinois, he called for a $550 million appropriation, which is about 15% lower than the FY15 appropriation, about $91 million lower than the $97 million lower than the FY15 appropriation. It also calls for a $60 million performance bonus to be performance funding to be a part of that, part of his budget. If basically we follow the format that we've had in the past, is the current model, you know, the University of Illinois should get about half of that. So maybe about $30 million might come back to the university. But this all remains to be seen. He's also put in in that budget a maintenance budget for FY17. Remember, we still have the FY17 budget season still. It's still an open season there. And he basically called for an additional $232 million, you know, for FY17 to basically continue the operations of the university. For the monetary award program, he called for a 10% increase in the monetary award program over the FY15 appropriation. In some of the detail, he does make some recommendations to changes in SERS in the pension, including basically an idea of a Tier 3, a new tier, a hybrid plan, retirement plan, probably, when I say hybrid, probably a combination of defined benefit and defined contribution. He also calls for changes in the health insurance and cost of and the cost to employees and for health insurance. One of the good things that's come out, CMS has basically said if there are changes in the health insurance costs and the premiums to employees, they will not be retroactive back to July 1st of 2016, which was a big concern that we had. And lastly, there's no new capital items in the budgets in the governor's proposal, and the capital projects that we have remain frozen. Very quickly now, the numbers here. Over the last 5 years, these are the appropriations that we've seen to date. And over those 5 years, we basically have increased enrollment 4,000 students. But in FY16, this is the year that we had the $180 million stopgap. And if you look at the difference between the 662 and the 180, it's $472 million that we're out, if you will, in FY16, and that's reported in the financial statements. Now, if you look at the difference between the 662 and the 351 now that we have for 2017 and to date, that's $311 million short from the FY15. So. And then lastly, as I've already said, we basically do not have an appropriation for our awards for 2017 for our MAP awards, which is roughly another $65 million. So you add up all those numbers, 472, 311, 65, it looks like we're $848 million short. And as Senator Dirksen used to say, we're starting to talk about some big money. So very quickly, this is what the governor basically says is over the last year, just how much the unpaid bills has progressed over the last year. And this ties out when you look at the last, January, $10.9 billion and the Medicaid bills that are outstanding. It'll get up to the $11.5 billion that the controller says was outstanding in the way of bills. And we see the progression, the deterioration throughout the year. Very quickly, looking at this, the only thing I'm really looking at, this is basically the appropriation and the buildings and collections over the years, but the last couple of years has basically been certainly abnormal. The only thing I really point out here is, again, that the $64 million MAP appropriation that we had for FY17, we don't have any money for that. Those are the awards for 17. Again, we used the 17, the $30 million appropriation, we used that to pay the spring of the prior year of the FY of the academic year 16 MAP awards. Quickly on the hospital, through January, the revenues and expense, I think it was reported yesterday by Avigit, 5.3 operating margin for the hospital, continue to have big concerns about the cash at the hospital. There's only 94 days of cash as of January 31st at the hospital. That's probably well below desired levels of cash on hand at a hospital, which should be running probably something like four times that much as far as the number of days cash on hand. But in comparison to the prior year, we were essentially through 7 months, we were at break even last year. It's a time to basically bring up in this, basically we're on the cusp of a campaign, where we stand as far as the endowment of the university as of for the fiscal year 16. The University of Illinois is right here in the middle of the pack at $2.3 billion as far as its total endowment. $1.7 is basically on the books of the foundation. $600 million is on the university's books for the $2.3 billion. You can see the outliers, of course, Michigan and Northwestern, but you can see the rest of the pack here. I think Ohio State was actually able to boost its endowment by issuing some 100-year bonds and also selling their parking garages and dumped all that money into their endowment. So that brought it up. But you can see where we stand as of the end of 2016 in comparison to the rest of the Big Ten and their endowments. And when I talked about before about the 4% spending limit, rate, the endowment this is 4% that comes to the university. When you apply you look at that $2.3 billion, apply 4%, it looks like we're going to be getting something in the vicinity of about $80-85 million will be coming to the university to support the university from the endowment using that spending rate. Every once in a while, I put this up. I know that Vice President Wilson talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I just want to put a comparison. Every once in a while, I put this up. It's basically the average debt for a graduating student. Here is basically this is all Illinois publics and nonprofits. It does not include privates as far as the debt in the. For Illinois, this what these numbers represent. The average debt is $29,300 for Illinois graduates, the graduate grading class of 2015, leaving with that as the average amount, and with 66% of the graduating classes having debt. When you look at the University of Illinois, I moved it forward. I don't have the information for the rest of the Big Ten states, but for University of Illinois for the class of 16, Urbana graduated with $24,500 as the average, with 59% having debt. Chicago $23,700 with 64%, and UIS with $24,700 with 69% having debt. I wanted to finish with, I've done in the past, and update the new numbers because administrative costs is always basically a big focus of concern for us in trying to control administrative costs. The first chart I have here is institutional support against the total expenditures in a comparison to where we stand. And of course, for purposes of administrative costs, when I say institutional support, this would be administrative costs at the central office, as well as the chancellor's and the provost's office. Those will be the administrative costs that go into institutional support. So what this basically is basically those costs over the total costs of the university. And as you can see, that we're at 5.45% of the total costs in administrative costs at the institutional support, and against a median of 6.4% for the Big Ten publics. And one of the things that's kind of interesting is you see over here, Ohio State and Michigan basically looks like they're at the far end of to the right on this chart. But when you look at the next chart, we take out the medical centers, and Michigan moves up substantially. Basically, the cost of medical centers, basically there's a lower administrative cost for a medical center in its total cost. So when you pull out those costs and those administrative costs, they're going to move up the ladder. So when we take out the medical centers, the University of Illinois 6.5% versus the median of 7.8%, so well below the median. Now when we look at the academic support on the next one. This one is, again, this is academic support. This would be administrative costs at the academy. This would be all the administrative costs at the academy, again, in comparison to the University of Illinois compared to the other Big Ten schools. And this information, by the way, is taken from essentially their financial statements, and it's gathered. This is basically what we call the NACUBO classifications of costs that basically come with the annual reports of a university. Only oddity here is Wisconsin. Basically, we're working with 2015 numbers. They still have not released their 2016 financial report. But here, when we look at the academy, administrative costs to total cost of the university, we're at 7.8% is the median, and we're at 9.5% is our cost compared to the median. Then we do the same thing. We take the take the medical center out of the of the equation, and that moves us to 11.4%, basically our cost compared to a median of 9.7%. When we take out the medical center, I think that these last four charts are very interesting when analyzing administrative costs at the university. So without anything additional, I just wanted to close with two points of personal privilege. I want to recognize two key players that are leaving the university. The first one I'd like to recognize is PJ Kale. She's retiring after 25 years at the university. She is our university insurance maven. She is the risk manager. She's always been there, been on top of things, handled the workers' comp, all of our insurance. I first recognized how good she was when I first came here, and we had a fire at the pharmacy building in Chicago, big fire in the pharmacy building, and it was on New Year's Eve. And so that morning I'm getting phone calls. Do we have insurance? Do we have insurance? Are we covered? Are we covered? I said, not only recovered, PJ had already called me and said that the not only recovered, but the recovery team was already on site. And they were, as the Chicago firemen were cleaning up, the recovery team was already in working on the replacement of the. So she has been a superstar for this university insurance, and she's going to retire, and we wish her well. Secondly, and basically a rising star that we're losing to LSU, Dr. Tyler Kearney. He's a young man who basically has been running the budget office, been basically a key player. Young man, got his doctorate here at the University of Illinois, graduate came to started working, started working after, he was still a graduate student in 2006, but we're losing him to LSU, and he was, a rising star, and I want to acknowledge him as being a really great performer for the university. So I just wanted to close on with those two thoughts.
Thank you, Walt. I had one question on your first slide. You mentioned that the state was down about $1 billion in revenue.
Yeah,
and I was just wondering what's driving that.
I think we're still running behind as far as labor. I mean, our employment statistics are still running behind. There's a concern. I mean, just basically the tax receipts projection, the sales tax are running behind, and I think it's just basically a kind of a stagnant growth situation, stagnant situation in Illinois. They just came out. They basically are predicting for FY18 for the next fiscal year about 2.5% growth, for next year. So, but this is they came out with this in January. They came out with this prediction. This COGFA, this Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, is well respected. Is basically essentially within, but an independent voice about economic voice on the state, and basically has always been looked to as being pretty accurate with their predictions.
Questions or comments for Walt?
Is that a reduction of existing, tax revenues versus the failure to increase it?
I think it's just I think it's just basically they're missing the projections by it's not that's using the existing tax structure, existing tax rates. That just basically is they're just not performing as expected, for FY17.
I can't pass up the opportunity to look back at slide 13 and 14 and just remind us all, even though we've been working really, really hard at reducing our administrative costs. We still, I think, still have room to grow. I know, Barb, you talked a lot about that yesterday, all that we've done so far. But when you look at those two slides, we've still got a ways to go, I think.
Thank you, Walt.